Blog Talk Radio.
Our strength and song, shout for victory.
什么要是软了，哎呀，阿拉哈呀那哇，哎呀，什么要是软了，还要阿拉海那哇，什么要是软了，哎呀，阿拉海那哇，
Shalom, shalom, family, and welcome, welcome once again to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOCC's first women's show designed with you in mind. The first two musical interludes that you heard were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm your host, Sister Shirley, and hosting also is Sister Carol. Are you there?
Shalom. How are you tonight?
Good, good. Hanging in there.
Good.
I think I saw Sister Aura. Aura, are you there?
Shalom, Betty.
And Sister Betty, I think I saw her too. Sister Betty, are you out there?
Yes, Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Betts. Okay. It's always good to hear from everybody, and it's good to be back. But anyway, you know, I'm going to get, how was everybody's night? Everybody all rested and everything?
Yes, pretty much.
Good. I'm just getting out of recovery from the Passover.
You did a lot of work, Shirley.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. Lord help us.
But all worth it.
Yeah, it is. I believe it's worth it. You know, I'm praying that the Lord send more workers into the harvest that can help. And so far, we've been finding quite a few. We're getting a good team together. So, all that said, I just want to bring out too how grateful I was for the sisters all coming together on such short notice and pitching in with the decorating and bringing in their own stuff and decorating their tables. I was excited. It really helped out a lot.
It was beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful to see everybody else's designs. I loved it, you know. Getting right into the show, we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this round table to ask a question, to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and just click on blogtalkradio.com /GOC Church, and you should find the episodes there. You can also reach out to us via private email, restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. That's restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. And one quick disclaimer. I'm really tongue-tied today, huh? A quick disclaimer, this show does not provide medical advice, in case you thought we did. The information voiced on this show is for informational purposes only and not intended to be a substitute
for professional medical advice, diagnosis, medical counseling, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health care provider before undertaking any new health care regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this station. We do, however, hold to the Holy Bible as our foundation and invite anyone listening to come to Christ and make him your Savior, because that's who he is. Invite him in. All right? And so we want to get started on the show today. So, Carol, I'm going to move on to you and ask you to go ahead and take us, to before the throne of grace.
All right. All right. And as usual, I try to come with something from the scriptures first, because his word stands before mine, that's for sure.
Marvelous.
So today is April 10th, so I'm going to read Proverbs 10.
Beautiful.
It's pretty lengthy, but we never get enough of God's word.
Amen.
We hold us to speak with as the oracles of God. I've never had anyone say to me, "You read too much scripture."
You know.
So let's just get started. This is Proverbs 10. It says, "The proverb of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother."
God knows.
Absolutely. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich.
Mm-hmm.
He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandment, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof, error. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander, is a fool. From the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is a little raw. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar is to the teeth,
And as smoke to the object, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just brings forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, so the wicked speak frowardness. I just wanted to say that this proverb moved me in the sense that we're going to talk about preparing ourselves for Pentecost. This is a wonderful scripture that to read with your sons and your daughters, because it's so much instruction. And it's not just for them, it's for us too. And we can think about how many lives could have been saved by listening to these words, to keep still and not to be so quick to speak and be proud. But I'm going to go before the Lord and ask him to have mercy and bless this show. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you as we always come before you before we start these shows. Lord, we thank you that we have ability to come, that we are alive, that we can say thank you, Father, for another day. Thank you, Father, for the blessing that proceeds from our mouths. We thank you, Father, that you created an earth that is so balanced that we give out to the green trees what they need as they give us right back what we need. Father, the balance is unbelievable. I thank you so much, Father, for all the things that you've done for this ungrateful species, man. We are ungrateful, Father. We're one of the only animals that is upon this earth that constantly disobeys you. All the other animals fall in line and they do as they were commanded to, but not man. Father, we're asking you right now to please have mercy on our souls, Father. We're asking you that this program tonight will bring some edification to us, to the people who are listening, and that they will bring guidance to us too, Father. We thank you just for the opportunity that we have every Monday night to come together with our sisters and share whatever you've given us, and as they share with us too, Father. We're asking you right now to touch the souls out there that need a healing touch. Touch anyone who needs a touch in their mind, Father, to bring them to say, what must I do to be saved, Father?
Amen.
So much, Lord. I thank you for the camaraderie of the sisters that are on the phone, Father. I thank you so much that you've given us this opportunity. Lord, in many countries, we never would have had this opportunity. And we thank you right now that while we can, we are working, Father. I thank you for this time of holy days that we're in. And I'm asking you, Father, right now to continue to clarify things for us that we know how to prepare ourselves for the holy days and how to walk in those holy days, Father. So much we've lost, so much we're learning. And we thank you, Father, for these blessings, Lord. And I once again will name a few people in the congregation who are not well tonight. My sister Charlene again, I'm asking the Lord to please touch her. Brother Otis, Father, please touch her. Sister Tisa, my dear sister, I ask, Father, to clear her lungs up, Lord. Give her the ability to take deep breaths, Father. Lord, I love her, and I just really, really need it. We need a touch for her, Father. And my nephew Eric's birthday was yesterday, Father. I'm asking you once again to raise him up to continue to give him strength from that sick bed, Father. And everybody else that I know in my church is asking for a blessing, Lord, please, to remember their sister Mary, Father. Please touch her, restore her body. Father, I thank you right now. And also for the young man, Deacon Shaw's son, Father, I'm going to continue to raise his name up for you in Yeshua's name. And any of the other sisters on the phone that would like to ask for a healing touch, please, now's the time for someone.
Yes, I want to ask for a healing touch for Sister Nikisha. Nikita,
yes.
Who was in the play, who played the Holy Spirit. She's been going through a lot, and we're asking that the Most High would just touch and heal her body. And I know there are others that I'm not remembering right now. There are a few people in the congregation that have disappeared, and we're asking that the Most High would reach out and touch them. We've called, and for some reason, we have not been able to locate them, Father. And we're just asking that, you know, the Most High would please, Father, if you would just reach out to them. We're hearing all kind of stories on some. And, Father, we whose report will we believe? We don't believe the report. You know, his report says, I am healed. His report says, I am free. And we have a victim. So let's believe his report. There's no sense in believing any other report. And some of the sisters, like I said, some of them are saying they're vexed with spirits and things of that nature, but we don't want to believe that report. We're going to ask the Most High to step in, because he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we love you, Lord, for that you have taken us in your arms and cared for us and blessed us with manifold blessings, Lord, and for this blood-bought privilege that you've given to us to walk with you, Father. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Sister Betty, or you have anyone you want to bring before the Lord before we get started?
Pray for my son.
He
is a little sick now in his situation. He's not feeling too well, so I ask prayer.
Amen. Well, Father, please touch the son, Father.
Yes.
And raise him up, Lord, please.
And I'm just going to add one other thing. I'm going to ask that the Most High would smite the hand of the enemy with this marijuana. Because now everybody's high. Everywhere you go, everybody's high, and they don't even realize that they're high. And it's really, really getting to be some kind of a criminal thing that they're doing. We see the zombies, the people walking up and down the street looking like zombies. I don't understand it. And it's scary. But, Lord, these are the last days, and we know that these things are going to come. But Father, we ask you for mercy. We ask you for mercy, and that you would abundantly pardon. And I see Israel walking up and down the street half dead. It's so scary.
Yes, Father. Yes.
It's so scary that this is where we're at. But all right, Carol, in Yeshua's name, we thank you.
My sister, do you have any?
I just wish that, you know, well, I pray that Israel would start waking up, that we would understand the message, because, you know, we're speaking to our children, but, you know, it's almost like it's falling on deaf ears. So I'm just praying our children will begin to turn back, you know, turn to the Most High, begin to seek his face. Because, you know, the children are the future. You know what I mean? So,
what are we going to do when Christ cracks the sky? Lord.
You know, I there was something that was read, one of the verses in Proverbs. It said,
can't hear you, Betty.
That one of the verses in Proverbs said, love covers all sins.
Yeah.
So we discuss this for a second. Because, you know, a lot of people believe that love covers all sin means that love hides sin when it's done. But it means love covers, if you love, when you love, there will be no error.
Mm-hmm.
So many get that verse wrong, that if you love, then it covers the sin of your loved ones, and that you will cover them up when they sin instead of correct them or help them in some way that they're
Understood.
Right, because then when you love somebody, you will try to hide their sin. You're not going to go out there and make everybody see how horrible a person is sometimes if then they've done things. So love can cover a multitude of sins in that way, you know, and yeah. And that when you just love somebody, you choose to cover, you know, to not sin rather
right.
than to, you know, to go out there and give them their just desserts. So when you love them, yeah, it does cover a multitude of sins that you will not go out there and make a mess out of your life. You know, I was listening to that Sister Monique. She gave some kind of a big speech on the air. It was very hard listening to it because it was laced in filth, you know, it was coming out of her mouth. And I was like, my goodness, a woman speaking like that, it was a little scary. But what troubled me so much about the things that she was saying is that we think that we have this relationship with God and we can call him in to our foolishness and we don't have to make the changes that are necessary. We can be accepted as we are. And sit there and stay there, and that's the flavor of the day right now.
Yep.
That we
yep.
can just go skating off into the kingdom, and you know, I was born like this, and yeah, I agree with you. We were born like this, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's what the scripture tells us. But that fight that we have to put up to change the direction that we're going in. And one of the things she brought out was that she was married, but that she was mm-hmm. desiring a physical relationship with a woman, and that
right.
this was eating at her, and she was bursting at the seams with this desire. Now, let me tell you, there should be nothing with bursting at the seams like that except to walk with the Most High or to tell somebody mm-hmm. about Christ, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she
yeah.
said she was, here you are married, and for all intents and purposes, being satisfied by a man physically, but yet it wasn't enough. You need something more. You need... And so she didn't want to tell, and I'm able to say this because this was on public TV. She didn't want to tell her husband what she was feeling because she said that her husband, she didn't want him to leave her. Well, I'm trying to understand that now. Well, what do you want?
No,
with
no,
him?
She said she presented it to him.
And she did, eventually. But she didn't want
to
tell him.
Said,
hang on, she didn't want to tell him, but she came to herself, I guess, if you want to say that, and she finally got up the courage to tell him, and she said to him, you know, will you leave me? You got to promise me you won't leave me if I tell you this, and he said, I promise, and then he said, hold it, did you kill somebody? And she said, no, I didn't kill anybody. But yes, she did. And yes, she did kill somebody. She don't realize it, but she's killing herself, you know. And
yep.
and then she said she told him that she was desiring another woman. And he says, well, hey, good. Bring it in because I'm desiring a new one too. So let's do this thing. Now, see. This is just filth. That's all it is. It's it's not the thing we're gonna talk about tonight is Pentecost, and Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit fell on us, and that Holy Spirit gives us the ability to fight off these crazy desires that are in the air. And if you are having trouble fighting off the things that are, you know, coming against us, these desires, these things that, you know, that the Bible talks about that you don't even want to mention because
mm-hmm.
they're so way out. But if these things are perplexing you and eating at you,
now's the time to become filled with the Holy Spirit, because we're coming up on to Pentecost. And I thought this would be a good time that we can talk about how and the steps that we can take to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and how we are not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we don't do certain things. Because, you know, this way that we walk with God is like a quid pro quo. We get something for something. You do this and I'll do that. That's basically what the scripture is saying. You walk with me and I'll walk with you.
Mm-hmm. That was my point as far as love, because the world and people who think like the world feels that love covers their accountability.
And
so it's like that's what she walked away with, thinking that love, because people love her in the state no matter what she's in, she's getting the love, and that's good.
See, you got to look at love. You got to look at love in the way it comes, because the scripture says to the, it says the love of money is, that's love. It's a bad love.
The scripture says, go for it.
No, I was saying that the love of money is the root of all evil, and love not this world and the things that are in this world. So sometimes love, it can be the wrong thing when you're loving. You know, so people need to understand that that word love is not a blanket statement that you can just throw out there.
Exactly.
But
if you don't have Christ, it's hard to understand what love really is. Because
that's right.
So until people really understand that they have to invite Christ in, they're not going to understand, because they've got all these meanings of the word love. Just like the same way the truth will set you free. The truth is Christ as well. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying a lot of people throw that phrase around, saying the truth. What truth are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? So it's all, when we say it's all relative, but it's relative to Christ, because that's what we got to look towards, because everything it should be all to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. It's
very
not
true.
all to our glory. See, we got it twisted, and that's the whole thing, you know.
Exactly. Yeah,
I just want to throw this in real quick. I think many people are confusing the word love with lust.
Yes.
Right.
This is lust. This is not love.
That's all it is.
Lusting after a woman. It's not love. And then they love to throw the phrase out that God is love. Yeah. But how do we show him that we love him? By keeping his commandments.
Right.
This world is so backwards and upside down that they've forgotten the purpose that they were created for.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them are walking out saying things like, I need to find myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you need to find Christ.
Yeah.
That's
because
we were created to praise him. We were created to glorify God.
That's what we're created for. And if anything else that we, you know, everything else that we get is just a blessing, but technically we were created to glorify the Most High God. And if we can't figure that out, you know, we're in a lot of trouble. But just
we spend time glorifying ourselves.
You mentioned that thing about
the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what we've got going.
Exactly. But Sister Carol, what I want you to do is I want you to pull up Exodus 19. And I want you to start reading from verse 10. There's something I want to go into there before we get started on it. And I just want to say, when, you know, because the unleavened bread, I think I slept through it. I never saw a week go so quickly And I went out and bought unleavened bread and, you know, the matzahs. I bought that whole big box of matzahs. And then I looked up and it was already Wednesday. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? You know, I've got all these crackers in here and it's like unleavened bread passed by. But I was so tired and laid back. But when we got to church on the last day and Bishop started bringing it out, I started feeling like I missed something, because that was the time to start getting the leaven out of our hearts. Whatever leftovers of leaven, because we all got it. We've got leaven in our heart. And I'm finding that during this holy season, stuff is coming at me left and right to just get on my nerves, to make me say and do things. And I'm having to bite my tongue and ask the Most High, what is happening here? Because these things are just coming at us. And so we need to continue to get that leaven out. But then because the Holy Spirit will not enter into a place that's full of leaven. And so we need to realize that. So that's why I want to back up and let's start with Exodus 19. Start with verse 10. Carol, do you have it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, start reading that, please.
Okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes.
Okay, hold it right there. Hold it. So this is when the physical law was being given to the children of Israel. This was the same time. Pentecost. This is what they were celebrating, but at that time it was the law being given to them. And so what did he tell them to do? He said to sanctify them. And we want to talk about that, because just to give them the written law, they needed to be sanctified, set apart, made, you know, you got to do some things in order to receive that bread that the Most High has given us. It's not for everyone. It's for those that who have clean hands and their hearts are ready to receive it. So go ahead. It says, go unto the people and sanctify them. Go ahead, Carol.
Right. Them to say and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai.
Okay, hang on. And so I find that, and it says, for us to wash our clothes. Now, that's symbolic, but not symbolic. You know what I mean? In the sense, it's twofold, because we need to come before the Most High clean, but mostly we're talking about now, since this Pentecost, this is coming on our hearts, we've got to clean that house up. We are that temple. So that area is where we need to get that prepared for the Holy Spirit to enter in. And so if we had to just be able to hear the word, we had to go wash our clothes and sanctify ourselves. And it took a while too, because he said, and be ready against the third day. After the third day, he would come. And I find that, you know, that three, there's so many things that come in threes in scriptures, you know. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and love. It's always the three, body, soul, and spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's something about that three times. So I think that we need to kind of collect ourselves and make sure that when we are sanctifying ourselves, maybe we need to do it in threes. You know what I mean? 3 days of fasting, 3 days of cleansing, 3 days of trying to get our spirits in line to receive that Holy Spirit, because we need it, right? In order to not fall into the condemnation of this world, and in order for the Holy Spirit to dwell in our temple. Continue.
And I want to add this. Mm-hmm. He's telling us to do all of this because we're coming before him.
Yes.
It's like this should never be taken lightly if we're going to pray to him.
Amen.
If we're coming to service. Whatever we're doing, he's telling us to prepare. Don't just go casually in there because this is not some boardroom that you just walk in and have a seat.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming before the holy God of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to be prepared. This Pentecost is one of the 3 days that he required the men to be present before him.
Yes.
And look what they had to do in order to come there. And that's why whatever we do, it should never be haphazard.
Right.
We should do everything if we're on the choir, if we're serving as hospitality, whatever it is, we're doing it for the Most High, not for ourselves or His glory or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we're doing, it is for Him, to magnify and glorify Him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And making room and preparation for the Holy Spirit to enter in. Because if we're doing it for vain glory, we're not going to have that right spirit. We need that right spirit, that spirit that's going to usher us into the kingdom. That spirit that's going to allow us to hear the Most High say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Mm-hmm.
We're coming to that time, and we need to make sure our souls are right. Because the next feast days after that is the trump of God. That could be it. Because
that's
when the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and
those that
will remain shall be caught up to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's no secret rapture. We're going to be going through this. Go ahead, Carolyn.
In order to do that,
that's Betty.
Because people are bombarded with so many thoughts.
Yes.
So many other duties that they just forget all about that. They just come in a rush and a huff and a puff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In order for people to do
that,
they have to go into a quiet place and spend that time.
It's like I said, I slept through unleavened bread. I slept through it. I didn't even know it was here. So it's like, and of course I didn't eat anything that was leavened, but I was not doing the service that I needed to be doing to make sure that my leaven is not there. We need to make sure that we're getting that leaven out. But go ahead, Carol, continue read.
Mm-hmm. I want to make one more point.
Sure.
In verse 10, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today." The people. He didn't say just the men.
Right.
He's
right.
calling everybody
to
sanctify themselves and be ready.
Yeah,
okay.
Men, women, and children. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Okay.
And then you
said that scripture, I think it said, take heed to yourselves. What does that mean? What does that mean to you, Carol? Take heed to yourself.
Well, I think it means to look at yourself, to examine yourself.
Yeah,
and you know how what did you say, Aura? What did Aura say?
It's the same thing, examine yourself.
Yes.
To look upon your own. You know how Paul says, make sure of your own salvation?
Your election.
Yes. Don't be sitting around here looking at the guy down. Look at him down there. Look what he's doing. No, take heed of yourself. Pay attention to what you're doing.
Now look at the rest of what he said. Go ahead, Carol.
And thou shall set bounds upon the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death.
Now, what did that mean? Let's talk about that. You know, and you know we couldn't do it because we were filthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. That even the outward cleansing wasn't enough. It wasn't enough, and that's why Christ had to die for us. That we could not come that close to the Most High because at that time the veil of the temple had not been rent. You know what I mean? So we couldn't even come as close to Christ. Now we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We need to make sure we're taking full advantage of that.
Yes.
That we can do that.
And also, may I add, also the mount is high. And some people, we have to be careful that we think not more highly of ourselves than we ought. And in doing so, we are busy doing our thing instead of thinking on what we're doing, instead of thinking about what we should be thinking about at this time, getting rid of the leaven. But we constantly building the leaven on what we have to present.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I want to add something else in reference to that. The Most High was in the mountain. Remember, the mountain was smoking and quaking. They could not approach him, like you said.
Right.
So
right.
He was saying, "Don't touch this mountain because I'm here."
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And you're not to come that close to me.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason why he doesn't want us to come close is because of the sin that we bring with him. Because
that's right.
Right now, he
can't look upon that.
Exactly.
He won't look upon that.
Since Christ covered our sins, we can come boldly. We can come close.
Right.
We can get all the way into, like I said, those threes. You got the holy place. You got the most holy. And then you got the holy of holies. The veil of that temple was rent. We can now enter into the Holy of Holies. We can get there because of Christ. What a wonderful thing. And in there, but let's just keep reading. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not as your wives.
Not at your wives. So right there. You know how they say in Corinthians, I believe it is, where Paul tells us that sometimes when you're fasting, that you set apart a time where you're not, as Elder Ricardo, dealing with each other at that time so that your mind can be where it needs to be to be fasting. So
I'll throw something else out there, Shirley, when it says not at your wives.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a man weak.
Yeah,
you have to
keep
your strength.
Yeah.
You may not be prepared when that trumpet blows if you're in the midst of that foolishness.
Okay. Keep reading.
And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all people that was in the camp trembled.
Mm.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at another part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded loud and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses,
go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron, with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. That's very scary.
So it is. Yeah. It is absolutely scary. And then, you know, the next verse is the Ten Commandments. And the Most High spake all the words, saying, I am the Most High, thy power. It goes right into it. So that's when that law came down to them, and they, you know, they had to ready themselves to receive it, and they were petrified. They were in fear of the Most High. And here comes Pentecost, and we're hanging out like, yeah. You know, we really have to realize that now we're in a whole new place because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so what we have to do is, Betty, get 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, and let's read that.
Okay, and so, keep talking.
Okay. And, you know, and so once we, this is what we want to do. We want to make sure that we're ready to receive the Holy Spirit, you know, because the scripture says to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled. And if you're finding yourself stumbling through life where you can't stop yelling, you can't stop doing certain things, and you don't have the control that you need to have, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with that Spirit, because if you're not filled with that Spirit, then you've got room inside of you for other spirits to take place. And they
First Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 6:19-20.
Okay. 6:19-20, and it reads, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Most High."
Yeah. So, number one, we're bought and paid for. We belong to the Most High God. And therefore, in order for us to get our bodies in a position to receive and to make sure that that Spirit is dwelling among us, we have to keep that temple clean. And we got the example of that in the Old Testament. And I know sometimes some of the sisters will say, well, you know, I'm unclean, I can't make it into the service today, and this, that, and the such. But what we really have to make sure is our heart is clean. We have to make sure that the leaven is out of our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit that now dwells within, because now we are that temple. We are the temple. And we have to present ourselves clean and spotless. And it's not a simple thing, because, you know, we will be struck down if we are not in the right position to receive the Holy Spirit. We're walking around, you know, acting like it's okay to live that alternative lifestyle. There's scriptures that speak, that say, you know, you are making the body of a harlot into the body of Christ. We share.
Yeah, but when you use the the woman issue as an example, I mean, as going back to that monthly cycle, you know how you feel at that time.
Mm-hmm.
When you are on that monthly cycle, you know, you feel kind of achy, depressed, and those are issues that people must deal with.
Yeah.
Must learn to deal with, because they are big to some people.
Yeah.
And at that time, yes, they're feeling like they can't be around people because of the attitude. Right now they need help.
And all that means is that we need more of the Spirit of the Living God working and abiding in us. Sister Aura, get 1 John 1:9, and Sister Carol, get Hebrews 10:26.
Okay.
And let's look at those scriptures. Aura, did you hear me?
Yeah, I did.
First John 1:9. Mm-hmm. And Betty, get 2 Corinthians 6:14-18 once they get finished. So, Aura, start with 1 John 1:9.
Okay, so 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So in order for us to be prepared for Pentecost, we need to begin to confess our sins. And I understand that to confess our sins to the Most High God, because you can go tell all your friends what you did, all you want to. But when you don't confess that to the Lord, you haven't done anything, because it's like David said, against you and against you alone have I sinned.
Right.
So we have to go to the Most High God. And so to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, we need to have a confession. We need to get before the Most High, ask him for forgiveness of our sins so that the Holy Spirit can enter in. Don't you think that that's one of the most critical things that we need to do, guys?
Yeah.
So so what you're saying is that as we prepare, as Paul said, to do it with new leaven to remove the evil.
Right.
Instead of physical leaven, we are to do what the scripture is telling us, to confess our sins constantly and get ourselves right.
Right.
So that
we're
prepared to face him, because
Amen.
Because he gave us the Holy Spirit on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be celebrating, and I mean ready for a major celebration, that he has given us a second chance. Because we really deserve to just go straight to hell.
Amen.
We really did, and we really do. But with the love and the shedding of Christ's blood, there is forgiveness.
Right.
Now, the one thing we know is that if we have not the Spirit of the Most High, we're none of his. But what we're saying is that feeling when you are walking in the Spirit, where you're filled with the Spirit, the scripture tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Because when you're not filled with the Spirit, you can't fight off the fiery darts. You don't have the strength. You're going to fall into sin one way or the other if you do not have that strength to walk in the Spirit.
We lose the power. We have no power when we don't have the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
And you know she does not exist in the body with sin.
There you go.
That's right.
Lack of discipline.
Let's look at Hebrews. Who pulled up Hebrews 10:26?
I did, but I want to say this, that you brought up something, you said, the scripture that says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you think about a glass that's filled, there's no more room for anything else.
Amen.
So if we're filled with the Spirit, we don't have room for this world's nonsense because there's so many distractions all over the place. That's why we have to constantly ask him to refill us. My husband this week,
he made an analogy in service. He said that the Sabbath, us coming to the Sabbath every week, is like a racing, a race. You know, like when you watch NASCAR and you see the cars going around and one may blow out a tire or need gas or something needs to be done, and he goes into the pit stop. So the church is like our pit stop as we're running this race, as we go around and we're constantly getting filled with gas or the Holy Spirit or whatever. I thought that was a very good analogy.
Yeah, it is to give us, because it's just like right now what we're talking about. And when I went, it took me to go to service last week on the last day of Passover to realize I did not work on getting the leaven out of my spirit. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was, like I said, I slept through unleavened bread.
Right.
Good night, you know.
Right.
So
right.
You get in church and then all of a sudden you get awakening. And I'm so grateful for the word. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm reading Hebrews 10, and I'm reading from the 26th verse. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin."
And
but
I'm saying that's so scary. That is one of the scariest verses in there. That scares me because, you know, how do we not deliberately sin? Here's again where we need that full-bodied Holy Spirit in us telling us that. But that's what David said. I have hid your word. Have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you? And if the Holy Spirit is working in us, you know, and speaking for us and helping us with groanings that cannot be uttered and things of that nature that's happening inside of our bodies and in our minds and in our life the way it should be, we can be better wives. We can be better, you know, sisters to one another. We can stand firm, but we are finding that there's so much foolishness and fighting and backbiting and, you know, worrying about silly things because we need more of the Holy Spirit for that self-control.
That's right. And she leads us to all truth. And when she shows us and we continue to go in and out, well, she don't play with us.
Exactly.
When the Holy Spirit showed me that I cannot tolerate gluten, and when I eat it and I get this cough and this thick mucus, and it's like she says, "Betty, I told you, I told you not to do that, but I keep doing it, and then I'm going to suffer the consequences." It's a maturity. It's a mature. We have to see things in discipline.
Yeah,
and learn to be a disciplined people. And we may fall, but we got to get up. And
that's right.
That better person. Become that better person.
Oh my goodness, that scripture. I got to find that scripture before we get off, where it talks about how the Most High loves the discipline, and that Holy Spirit is that discipline that works in us, you know? But go ahead, Sister Betty, read 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18.
6:14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers."
Okay, I want you to stop right there. Just stop right there, because in order for us to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers, meaning we just can't be hanging out with folks that are not walking with the Most High God.
That's
the truth. We are going to slip. We are going to vex the Holy Spirit. We are going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Read that again.
You're going to end up mimicking what you're beholding, and becoming what you see.
Yeah.
And you won't have anyone to check you, because the unholy is not checking.
Yeah. Here we go. If you got friends that you're hanging around that are not believers, you better get away from them. You're gonna have to Move away if you want that spirit working in you, that Pentecost spirit that comes down with that spirit, that we can do that fasting. We can fast together for 3 days and then come up for some air and then do 3 more days. Let's do it in threes, guys, so that we can start to cleanse our bodies. So the first thing we said, we definitely want to confess our sins so that we can cleanse. And then we want to not deliberately sin. So things that we know that are just plain wrong, we better cut it out, because the scripture says there's no more sacrifice for it. It's just
right.
not.
That's right.
We must remember that we're always under a test.
Oh,
and the word
I know.
That, the word says that righteousness is immortality. That speaks very loud.
Exactly.
So when we try to do the right thing, we are walking in power.
Oh my goodness.
When we do the right things all the time, you know, no matter who we are amongst, the Holy Spirit must dwell in our temple.
Amen.
We must remember that who's the leader.
Yes.
Mm.
We have to constantly keep our eyes on him, or
right.
we are going to fall. We're going to fall. But I think when it says willfully is when you're just like, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's wrong, but I got to do this. I got to do this just one more time, you know.
Well, let me just add this scripture, Hebrews 12:1, where it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and let us run the race that is set before us. Because, and then unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, set down at the right hand of the Most High. But, you know, it's like these things that we know, there may not be sin, but it may cause us to sin. And we know what we are. But, still, you know, we have this little conversation in our head, well, you know, I can handle that now, or it's not going to be that bad. You know what I'm saying? We still invite it in because we have not been on our knees to get that strength. You know what I'm saying? Because I said to pray so you won't be tempted. You know, that's why when you say pray without ceasing, you got to pray so you don't be tempted. Otherwise, you're going to be tempted to go in these places, to go to do these things that may not be sin, but can cause you to sin. You know, because that's how we rationalize stuff too. Letting things, going into places we know that will cause us to sin because we haven't sinned yet, or, you know, doing things that we know that will eventually cause us to go down that wrong road, or just like you said, going to hang out with people who we know will cause us to sin. We've got to let go of things, you know?
Well, you know, he says, come out of her, my people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not come out of Babylon completely. Our feet are still trodden in Babylon places, you know, because they have what we need sometimes. We are going to their shopping centers. We are going to their hospitals. We are going many places where we are going to find the test going on, because they're offering something that we need, or we feel that they have something that we need.
Well, you know, when I was studying the book of Adam and Eve, and
I was just bring that up,
and it was talking about how they were told not to go down there and hang out with Cain's children.
Right.
They said, don't go down there. Just don't. And when you know how you grow up as a teenager and what have you, and you just keep looking and feeling like, you know, I'm missing something. I got to go down there and see what that is. And then they all eventually just went.
Fell. They fell.
Yeah, because they kept looking at it.
And they, and the disobedience, and that's why the scripture talks about, you know, the love of God is keeping his commandments, because look where they fell into. And that's where multiple wives came into play, and all kinds of illicit sex and all kinds of other stuff, because that was not happening with the children of Seth until they went down to Cain's hangout, you know. And so it's really, really scary when we think about that. But I do want you to finish that scripture, Sister Betts. So go ahead and read that 2 Corinthians 6:14-18.
Okay, so to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And what communication hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
Mm-hmm.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
Mm-hmm.
For we are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, go out from among them, and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Most High.
Amen, amen. And see, that was so much that the Most High is telling us, don't even touch the unclean thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't touch it.
Don't go near it. Stay away from it. And in order for, he says, for we are the temple of the living God, and he dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. And so if we are not going to, if we go do these things, touching the unclean thing and hanging out with idols and doing other, you know, doing these things, how can we even be considered the temple of the Most High God? How can we expect the Lord to dwell in us, and how can we live righteous lives before our children and before our husbands? How can, just like that sister Monique was talking about, how that her soul was vexing her, eating her up to go and have sex with another woman. What?
You know what that means?
That Holy Spirit will keep that, tamp that down. What did you say?
Right. You know what that makes me think of when you're reading that, when you're saying that about Monique? Remember Amnon with Tamar?
Yes.
How his soul was vexed. And then another one is Potiphar's wife when she was after Joseph. I mean, these people, you're getting sick, you weren't thinking about it so much. But
right.
James said that sin starts in the mind, right? And you keep on dwelling on it until before you know it, you're doing it.
That's exactly right.
Well,
where
that
the
is
mind,
why we must
the body follows. But
that
it's just like when you...
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
I would say that's why we must become a slave to righteousness.
Yes.
Because,
you know, go ahead.
Wherever we go, we're going to be tempted. There is, but we know the right thing. We know what we must do, and it must be the right thing.
Right.
Because we, as, I mean, Monique, she has definitely made her choice.
Mm-hmm.
She is in the world, and she loves the world, and she wants, and the love world, the world loves her. She's sure about that.
But see,
the
thing is that, right, but that's what we get confused. Because we keep thinking there's a place in the middle, but there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's
either
life or death. And the Most High tells us every day.
We
have choices, but somehow in our heads we go, we think we can conquer this. It's just like sometimes, have you ever done this? You see, like, I wanted these pair of boots, but I knew I didn't need them. But the more I thought about it, the more I wanted those boots. You know what I mean? And I eventually got those boots, and then I got them, and how often do I wear them? You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, you have that. You were lusting after it, and I kept seeing it going back to that space. But then
I had that second thought, you know, because I went and talked to somebody else about it, and they said, yeah, those shoes were nice. And then I said, yeah, they sure was. And I went back and looked at them again. You know what I'm trying to say? You kind of have to psych
this
yourself.
This is not sin against you. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
this
why
is not
you can't play
you.
With sin. You
no,
can't
no,
play
you,
with
you can. You can't. You mm-hmm. can't keep on pushing yes. it around in your brain and going, well, maybe. But check
right,
this out.
Right, exactly. And
look
almost,
at Monique.
It can start to get to be a game with you to almost until you it's but really what happens is that's when the hunter gets captured by the game. You know what I'm saying?
That's
mm-hmm.
right. That's
mm-hmm.
right. You got mm-hmm. caught up in the, it got too big. But you
yeah.
know what? Look at what Monique did. She was bold enough to get up here and tell the world her
right.
ungodly thoughts.
Yes.
As mm-hmm. if she was looking for them to say, go ahead, girl.
Right. Well, she was.
Do
she was
it.
Looking
and,
for more
and
support.
They did. And they did. Standing ovation. Standing mm. ovation.
Wow.
Yes.
Bringing
skills. When yeah. you're in sync, you got a great big support system and wide
yeah.
gate to
yeah.
destruction. It is.
Yeah.
Because you're going to so many people that are for you. When I look at only 8 people were saved, that scares the crap out of me because
yes, it does.
You know,
yes, it
that's
does.
Why you take heed lest you know that you think you're standing lest you fall because it's too easy to fall.
Carol,
that's
pull
all.
Up Romans 5:5. Pull up Romans 5
all
and right. 5, and she'll or pull up 1 Peter 3:18.
Okay.
Let's look, and so Betty, get Ephesians 5:6.
Okay.
All right, here's Romans 5:5.
Mm-hmm.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us.
Now,
for when
now,
we were yet...
Go ahead, Carol.
Shall I continue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ
mm-hmm.
died for the ungodly.
Look at that. Look at that.
For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But
mm-hmm.
God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners,
yes.
Christ died for us. While we were, and, you know, come on, man, we weren't even looking for this. We were just a bunch of.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I was, and when I look back on where I was, I'm so grateful, kid.
I know
I'm
that's right.
Grateful.
I know that's
I was,
right.
I was on my way to ruining everything I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that's
and,
why
and
it's saying here, hope does not put us to shame. This hope, it doesn't
yeah.
put us to shame. It'll keep us from living that filthy life that we have to look back on and wish to God we had never done it.
Yeah,
that we are walking in righteousness because it says God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Imagine that.
Right. Right.
His love. And if we don't, you know how some people walk around here and they're angry at the whole wide world because of things that have happened to them. And I know this world can be so cruel, where you might have a mother that may not have loved you or a father that may not have had anything to do with you. But the scripture says here that because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, well, it
Amen.
Can't be poured in if you have not confessed your sins. If you
right.
have not become clean, if you have
mm-hmm.
not gotten your hands washed and all these
mm-hmm.
things, you want that Holy Spirit, the love of God, where you can really know what love is. And it's poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit who has given, he has been given to us. Given as a
right.
gift. It's a
Amen.
Gift.
Amen.
Yes.
Given.
Right.
You didn't have to pay for it. Christ
right.
paid for it. And we are wasting our time
right.
worrying about other kinds of things when we don't really know what love is yet.
Right.
Let's learn
exactly.
what love is. Let's learn what real love is.
that love that God sheds in our heart, where we don't, where you don't even understand why this person is acting so wonderful, why she's able to stay with her husband who may not be walking upright, why she's able.
I want to say something that I was once told that many of us are enablers, that we help other people's sins. But I just want to say that those words came from some person mostly, I believe, that didn't know Christ.
Amen.
Right.
Because, you know, as the scripture says, while we were yet in sin, he died for us.
Yes.
Right.
We're doing things for people like our children, even though we know the state that they're in. We haven't turned our backs on them. And that's what the psychiatrists teach. When you go in there and they try to teach you not to help and be there for one another, don't be an enabler. And that's what that made me think of when it said, while we were yet in sin, while we were doing our own thing, tearing our behinds and not looking at the Most High, we were doing our own thing.
I love that scripture, and I can't remember exactly where it is, but it says, "For he made no sin to be sin for us, that we might be righteousness of Christ."
Amen. Amen.
Like, and you know, so many Christians get that wrong, because I had a Christian woman who went to Christian school and got her certificate, told me that she could get a nice hunk to come and sleep with her, and she's forgiven because Christ did it all at the cross.
Yeah.
Well, there and again.
So many people get that wrong.
Are your scriptures
don't know Christ is very to do that though. If you're not walking, in the Spirit, you can know Christ and still do a sin like that. Look what David did. You know,
yeah. There you go.
He knew Christ, but he
stepped outside of that
away.
Spirit.
Right. He looked.
Or your scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:21 that you were looking for.
Right. But
David.
Somebody has Ephesians 5:16. But go ahead. What
are
you going to say?
I have it.
It's probably, you know, because it says 2 Corinthians says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him."
The Most High
repeats himself in different places. You know, he does.
What I liked about that is because he said he made us righteous. Because how do we get that righteousness? We have to confess our sins. He said he would be faithful for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Make us clean, Lord.
Right.
That confession must be to him. So Monique was confessing her sins to that audience.
Giving
her forgiveness.
So we're going to bring in some of the callers. If you guys can press 1, get into the host queue, and we'll bring you in. But Betty, read Ephesians 5:16. Let's look at that.
Oh, and I love this. It says, "Let no man deceive you." That means do not allow any man to deceive you with vain words. "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience."
That word disobedience, if we look back in the garden, that's what threw the whole world into sin. Just disobedience.
Yeah, it's all about obedience.
Just not listening. Just thinking we can do our own thing. We can just do our own thing.
Yes.
But I also want to look at Ephesians 5:16.
All right.
You're right there, so just go 5:16.
5:16, okay. "Redeeming the times because the days are evil.
So the one thing we have to realize is it's almost here.
What time
is it? Deeming the time that trumpet is about to blast, and we have to have that Holy Spirit dwelling in us, because the scripture says, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of His. And if we keep quenching the Spirit and making our vessels a place of filth, Holy Spirit can't dwell in there. How are we going to make it into the kingdom? We won't make it.
Well, it reminds me of those virgins, those five foolish ones and five were wise and five were foolish.
Yeah.
You know, the ones who forgot to bring that oil. Like, mm-hmm. they all set out, but they weren't obedient because they had the instruction, but they didn't have that wisdom enough to follow through with it, you know, to be
mm-hmm.
obedient,
mm-hmm.
prepared. So they didn't mm-hmm. have their that oil, and then
mm-hmm.
they wanted to get up. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? You remember the story of the five wise and the five foolish ones.
Yeah, yeah. You think you got time.
They all had the same instructions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They all weren't prepared, really. You know how you half-step in. They weren't prepared.
Yes, and it's something because you're saying that.
Okay, we got a lot of people in the queue. Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's bring them in.
The 17th verse says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So,
right.
Yes. You said about the virgins being not having the wisdom.
Right, right.
Seventh verse.
The wisdom is mm-hmm. that Holy Spirit, though.
Yes, yes. Let's bring in one of the callers. Area code 773. You're on with the Daughters of Zion, and we're talking tonight about preparing our bodies to receive the Holy Spirit. Area code 773. You're on the air with us. Okay, I'm going to put her back in the queue because I can't hear you, 773, if you're there. All right, let's pull up another caller. Area code 210. Area code 210, you're on the phone with the Daughters of Zion tonight.
Shalom, sisters.
Shalom, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I just wanted to come on. Earlier, I didn't get a chance to add a name. You guys were taking names for prayer. I wanted to lift up my sister Chantal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to say just the water for such an edifying lesson. There were so many points, especially the reference to the book of Adam and Eve about Seth's children, that I really feel was for me tonight, just to take into perspective and to really realign my mind. I like the analogy someone gave about a bag being filled to the top and how that doesn't leave room for anything else. And I was just so blessed by that sentiment. So I just wanted to say the water.
Amen. And what's the sister's name again?
Sister Chantel of the Austin Body.
Okay. All right. Father God, in the name of the Savior, Yeshua Christ, we just want to come before you right now and say thank you for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies that are renewed every morning, Lord. And before we ask you for anything, we want to thank you for everything, oh God. Thank you that we have this opportunity to come before your throne, Lord. And we're asking you that you would look down upon Sister Chantal, Father, that you might heal her of whatever it is that's troubling her and perplexing her, Father, because we have no way to serve you in the grave, oh Lord.
We want
to be able to live so that you can use us, Father, in your will, Father, and that we could have a reasonable portion of health and strength, Father, that we might turn around and say, what must I do to continue to walk holy before you, Lord? In the name of your Son, Yeshua Christ, we do pray. Amen. All right, sister, thank you. Okay, I'm going to put you back in the queue. All right, let's bring in area code 347. Area code 347, you're on with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, sisters.
Shalom.
So my name is Crystal, and I have something told me to tune in tonight, and I'm just really thankful that I did, because I just feel, I can't really explain it. I just feel so overwhelmed, and I feel so grateful, but then at the same time, I feel unworthy in such a terrible way, because I've known about the truth for about, like, I would say at least 7 years now.
Wow.
And I have been struggling in the worst way. It's like, I know I'm struggling so, so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, for the past 3 days, has been, out of the 7 years, I would say these past 3 days have been the most I've ever felt really connected, like I'm on the right path. Because mm-hmm. I fall, and I just feel so unworthy sometimes.
God.
And I have children.
And
I just don't want to be left behind. And I'm
hard.
It's so hard. But God is so simple. He's so simple. His word is so simple.
Just ask him into your heart.
So simple.
Ask him into your heart now.
Yes.
Yes, sister, just, you know, Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask him for forgiveness and ask him to come into your heart and believe.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just believe. Don't be afraid. You'll
mm-hmm.
have a formidable adversary called Satan. He ain't playing. You have got to ask the Most High for power. You've got to ask him, as we're talking about, getting rid of the leaven. Ask him to remove the sin and ask him into your heart. And you can do that now, sis. You can do it now.
I am, and I needed to hear that I needed to fast, because I feel like that's one thing I haven't done. So I'm going to fast for the next 3 days, because I felt like I needed to hear that.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Carol, can you pray for the sister right now?
Say that again, Cheryl.
Pray for her right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do, but I want to say something to you, sis.
Mm-hmm.
Come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
go and you ask him to come into your heart before you fast,
mm-hmm.
because you need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You need that. You need him to change your soul in order to survive the fast and for the fast to mean anything.
That's right.
Ask him, because, you know, whenever we fast, the devil comes to us and tempts us more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
More than ever.
Mm-hmm.
You need that.
For the feeling so unworthy.
That's okay. Yeah. That's good.
That's right.
That's good. You should feel unworthy.
I feel so
We're all unworthy.
Don't
the
be
scripture
ashamed.
Remember,
Messiah came to save the lost.
Yes,
that's right. The scripture says that Christ was the only one who was worthy. Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
We're not worthy.
I want to take your number down. I want to take your number down because, you know, we want to reach out to you afterward and make sure that, you know, you're doing okay out there. So I'm going to take your phone number. You
347 was her area code, I think. And sister, what is your name? What is your name, sis?
Crystal.
Okay, I didn't understand it when you came on.
Okay.
Crystal, I am going to ask the Lord to give you power, but I want you to ask him for yourself, because I cannot ask him.
Amen.
Father, right now we're asking you, Father. Lord, we're calling upon you. This sister is reaching out.
Yes.
Apparently, it seems that the Lord, that Ahaya is drawing her.
Yes.
Open up her eyes that she may understand that when you're drawing, you're knocking on the door of her heart. Hard not. But open up your soul to him and ask for forgiveness, Father.
Yes.
We thank you for this sister today that she heard this program.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Let her become a new name written down in glory, Father.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking you to give her the strength to get on her knees and just to invite you into her life, Father, and so that she can direct her little children.
Yes.
And many more will come to know you through Sister Christina.
Father, we thank you tonight that we've given us the opportunity to share this word with our loved ones, with our sisters and our brothers. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this peace that we come towards Pentecost. Father, give us all the strength.
Yes.
The strength, Lord, to get rid of the sin, the leaven out of our lives, Father.
Yes.
And this
yes.
sister, Christina, we're asking you to give her the words to say, what must I do to be saved?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, we do,
Lord. Messiah, we pray.
Yes.
Aman.
I want to say this to you, sister. Aman. The one thing you need to make sure that you understand is that, you know, sometimes being ashamed and feeling sad and sorry can be deceitful in the sense that it can be worldly sorrow.
Right.
You've got to make that godly sorrow, because godly sorrow will give you the ability to
repent
and to turn it around, because we can always feel bad about things, but you don't want to let the devil come in and make you just feel bad, because worldly sorrow will kill you. It will destroy you. But when you have that godly sorrow, God just wants you to raise your head up, girl, straighten up, confess that sin and ask for forgiveness, and then try to go ahead on and walk with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yes. Don't toss us. Gird up your loins and say, you know, Lord, in your word you said you would forgive me. I'm asking for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness, and then believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to believe that.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
And once you believe that, you go ahead on and walk in that spirit and
that's
in that righteousness. And this may sound funny, like we used to hear in the Christian church, tell the devil no. You do. Have to tell
that's
him,
right.
No, I'm not going to do this today.
Yes.
And take
yes,
it a
right.
day at a time. Take it a day at a
yes.
time.
That's right.
Because, girl, we have all sinned and fallen short. All of us.
Right.
If we sat on
that's
here
right.
and all the things that we did.
Everybody on the phone and everybody that's listening has fallen short of the glory of God. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank
Amen.
You.
And the Thank best you, thing that you can ever do is start walking with God. That's the best thing. You'll be, the only thing you'll be sorry about is that you didn't do it sooner. That's the only thing you'll be sorry about.
Yes, that's me the past few days, just crying and just confessing that I should have done it sooner. Like, where would my life be if I would have been more capable of setting it up?
Been
more willing and more open.
Yeah, but don't even keep looking back at that. Let's move forward.
No.
Because you know, most of he's an on time God, and he will take you where you need to go right now.
Right.
Okay. How old are you?
I'll be 32 on Wednesday.
Okay, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Young age, Jesus, you got a lot of time to serve the Lord if he tarries,
right.
if he doesn't come. So let you continue.
Are you near any congregations, sis? Because the 347 sounds like New York.
Yeah, I've been sent to the D.C. It's like in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I've been
mm-hmm.
to that location once. I've been to that location a few times, but then I fell and I was just so ashamed to even go back. And I've never been back since.
Okay.
Well, Aura goes to that congregation.
So,
she's on the phone.
Do you live in the area? Crystal?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you live near the D.C. area?
Yes, I do. Maybe like 45 minutes away.
Wow. So okay. Do you know where our services are and everything? You said you visited once.
No, I've been maybe about, I was going about 3-4 times. I've been about like 3-4 times. And then, I don't know, I got caught up in the world again. And then I just was just ashamed to go back. Every time I wanted to go back, I just was ashamed. I just never went back. I just would watch the videos online, or watch when they came to my phone, just watch the videos, watch the services on Saturday.
That's the devil making you ashamed. That's just the devil. You get yourself rest on Saturday. He said to forsake not the assembly. That's the first thing, as we were talking earlier, that's where you're going to get your strength from. You take yourself to service, and Sister Aura will try and meet you there. Okay,
right. I'll get her number and reach out to her.
Yeah, I'll send you her phone number.
Okay.
All right, you be blessed.
You know what? Yes, you be blessed. And please, don't forget, ask him. He said that you have to believe that he is the giver of good things. That's right. Just believe.
Remember that
the Most High High can change.
Once you ask him into your heart, you become new. So you've got to shake off all those old things, and don't let those things come up in your mind saying I'm this terrible person. No, you're not. You've been born again.
No, you're not.
You have asked Christ to come into your life and change you, and you have truly repented.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And just let me say this, Sister Christine, is this, if this program had no other reason to be on but to just talk to you tonight, this was the greatest
Amen.
Call.
Amen.
One to find, what must I do to be saved? This is the
Amen.
Greatest call. Thank you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your services. All praises.
All right, sis, I'm going to put you back in the queue. I have your phone number, and I will give it to Sister Aura, and we will reach out to you. All praises, and we'll continue to pray for you too, sister. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Stand strong. All right, be blessed now.
Thank you.
All praises to the Most High God. I'm going to bring
thank
in another caller. Unless you guys got something to say, I'll bring in another call. And then after that, you know, we will just go back into some more scriptures. But area code 313, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Yes.
Shalom, my beautiful sister.
Shalom, how are you?
Why does it sound like, what's her face? Jackie?
That sounds like Jackie.
Jackie.
Wow. We know that voice.
Hey, I love you all, and it was just on my heart to just pull in today, and I'm glad I did. to the young lady that
voice.
Just. It's good to hear you all, too. To the young lady that just got off, what came to my mind as she was sharing was the scripture, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's what I thought of. And just continue to go to the Most High, because he will surely deliver you. And one of the reasons I chimed in, because I wanted to share, as I was preparing for the Feast of Unleavened, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened, I started just, you know, cleaning out my house, my refrigerator in particular, right?
Mm-hmm.
And getting all the leaven out of my house, right? And so I went to, and I started just cleaning up. And so I went to my refrigerator, and I hadn't cleaned it up in a while. And so I was so motivated by Passover and Unleavened Bread that I had enough energy to clean this dirty refrigerator out. It was through. So as I was cleaning this refrigerator out, I went into every corner and every crack, and there was spilled juice, and there was this, and stain from this, and I was like, ooh. And the Holy Spirit was just ministering to me as I was cleaning out this refrigerator. And he said, I said, what is all this? He said, well, this is what our hearts look like when we don't repent, and when we live life that sinful and unrepentant. And even when we repent, sometimes the same refrigerator denominator. You know, a little bit of lemon is the whole lump. It was just, it could be just that little corner. It messed up the whole refrigerator, and the food that's in it is not fresh because the refrigerator is dirty. So we can keep putting
the
word.
Cleaning it.
Yes. We could keep putting the word in us, but if we don't come clean, if we don't repent, we put them into an unclean vessel. We put them into a place where there's still stains and you know, that we're still harboring unforgiveness and all kinds of ungodly things, ungodly characteristics. That refrigerator ministered to me. I'm telling And I tell you today, I love the body of Christ. I love the Most High people. I love my sisters in Christ. I don't care. I don't let nothing separate me from the love that He's put in my heart for the body of Christ and my sisters. And it doesn't matter. Don't matter where you worship at. As long as you're pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ, and as long as you're trying to get your life right with Christ, you know, you're moving in that vein. It's your journey. Everybody's journey looks different. It's like, I love you, you know? And it's like, one of the things I know, I started repenting. He had me even, like, repenting for people that may have wronged me. It's like, Lord, could you please just forgive them? Forgive them like you've forgiven me, because it feels good to be forgiven. And when we're really forgiven, we want that same forgiveness for our brothers and sisters. Because if not, we're just like, we're walking over them. We're leaving them down on the ground. It's likened unto that. It's symbolic of just walking past them and saying, oh, I'm up. I got my deliverance, and I'm glad you're down, because you shouldn't have said that to me. No, that's not the right attitude. And so we have to put on humility. And I'm telling you, when the Most High really just breaks us and starts getting that leaven out of our heart, we'll repent for other people that have done things. We'll ask the Most High, please have mercy on them. Please give them that tender heart where they'll come to you and they'll get what they need for you so that they can move on and they can prosper in you. Because if we don't have a clean heart and clean hands, we're not going nowhere. We're just going in circles. We're just practicing religion. And so that's what I wanted to share about my old dirty refrigerator. It's clean now. I love you, ladies.
All right, sister. Thank you for calling. We miss you. All right. Shalom. Amen.
I
want to
say something. I want to say something to Christina in reference
Carol,
to
her name
Mr.
is Crystal. Her name
Crystal.
Is Crystal. Crystal, okay?
Oh, Crystal. I kept saying Christina, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Maybe, you know, there you go. But anyway, she was saying Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, I'm lonely in heart. The reason that I mentioned it is this, is that I wanted to talk about it was this. That is the scripture that brought my husband to Christ.
Amen. Amen.
He was begging and crying and asking God to help him. And his sister said, read this scripture. And he always talks about that's his favorite. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. His yoke, that thing that goes around the cow's, the oxen's neck, that yoke. Isn't hard that the Most High has given us. But the scripture says the way of the transgressor, his yoke is heavy, is hard.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High's yoke is easy. And I want Sister Crystal to know my husband was released from doing heroin.
Amen.
That's a heavy yoke. Mm-hmm. Never look back. It's with all my heart I'm asking you. He can do it. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
So, you know, he can stir up, too. I'm going to bring in another caller. Area code 713. Area code 713, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. We don't have a lot of time left, so come on in. Area code 713. Shalom.
Shalom.
How are you?
Yes.
Shalom.
Shalom, ladies. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All praises to the Most High. Just thank the Father for our elders, our bishops, our deacons, our officers, our leaders, and you ladies on this call. My heart is just so, oh, my goodness, it's just so filled with joy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So filled with joy to be on this call.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, I'm just overwhelmed. The Spirit told me I need to come up here and get on the call. And I didn't want to get on the call, but I do want to, I just want to encourage everybody in the body and just take this time to thank you, ladies, for bringing out the scriptures. And it's just been such a blessing to me as I look back in my life. I just have to thank the Most High for giving back everything to me when I first came in this truth, when I lost it all for him. And he's faithful. God, he's so faithful. If you would just, if you just take the time and get to know him and get in the scriptures, as you ladies have said, you know, and if we go to Sirach, and as we read in the book of Sirach, where the Holy Spirit walks with us, even mm-hmm. in our crooked mm-hmm. path,
mm-hmm.
and we're just so grateful for that.
Amen.
We're grateful yeah. at that yeah. time.
Yeah.
You know,
we want to look at that the scriptures in Sirach and the Wisdom of Solomon, because it's going to tell you the attributes of the Holy Spirit that we can
mm-hmm.
we can have those beautiful things.
Yes.
We can, because we, as women in particular, that's our place in scripture, that we are in that position of the Godhead. That's us, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so we're doing a lousy job of representing right now. And we want to make sure we start to bring more of the spirit of that Holy Spirit into our lives, sister. And I want to thank you for coming on tonight and letting us know how you appreciate it. Because this
yes.
is not, it's not an easy walk.
No,
it's easier than walking in the world, though, I tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to share just a sliver of my testimony. I'm being in the truth now 7 years,
okay.
And I've been without a home twice in the truth.
Oh, wow.
Over ministries, over the dance ministries, running, you know, in the choir, all of this, you know, and I'm praising the Most High through it all. With my daughter going through it. And this year, I make a year in a house that the Father has given me. I've slept on couches. I've had a backpack. I've gone from my mother's house. My brother brought me into his house, him and his wife. At the Most High, you know, he'll put you in that low estate to humble you.
Yes, he will.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he will.
But to your hunger,
sometimes,
just because of him. You just want
yep.
him. Food, shelter, and raiment, Father, I break open this Bible, and I just want you.
Amen.
What does it profit a man to gain his whole world and lose his soul? So I just,
mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful for this call. I can't believe I called in. But praise the Father that sits on the throne, who
That's
is the
right.
Father of the Ancient of Days. Without
mm-hmm.
him, we have nothing, and we have nothing without him, and without our leaders, we don't even have a purpose. So
yes.
I'm just grateful for my leader, Officer Azaniah of the College Station Body. I'm grateful for Elder Ricard. I'm grateful for all the
mm-hmm.
elders and those that imparted
yes.
to us
love
to keep us from day to day. And to all
mm-hmm.
the women, be encouraged. I almost died last year. I got to just say this. I have to say this because I was in the ER and I stopped breathing. And the Holy Spirit said, this is not into death, and brought me back. I am
mm-hmm.
back. And I thank the Father, because asthma tried to take me out of here, but he said not so. And I'm still here in the
land.
And to encourage the women. And I pray for all the women that are pregnant in their womb. There's been an attack on the women. And I just pray for them. I thank you, ladies. I just pray for the Most High. I'm just filled with joy for the Most High. I just thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Amen,
amen. I'm going to bring in another caller really quickly because the time is really winding down. Area code 804, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 804.
Shalom, my sisters. This is just a
Tanisha. Oh, shalom.
Calling from the Greenville body.
How you doing?
Hi. I'm blessed. I cannot complain. This call has been such a blessing. And first and foremost, thank you all for praying for my son, Benam.
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite a journey, but healing is on the way. We're keeping the faith.
Amen.
But I want to be really, yes, ma'am. I just want to be really brief. I was listening to the sister Crystal that called in, and my heart, I just had to share a brief testimony as well. It's very similar to the previous sister's testimony, but I could feel her conviction in her heart, and that's the same conviction that I had, coming into the truth in 2016 when I was living in Richmond. I left the church because I was still in my sin. I was learning, but I wasn't in my strength to stop, with the smoking and still being in the world. And I just stopped fellowshipping because I didn't feel worthy. I felt bad to be around everybody knowing that I was.
Hey, sis, we got 60 seconds left. So
yes,
I would like for you to come back on the show next week and give us a little bit more of your testimony. Would that be good?
That would be awesome. Yes, I would love
that. That would be great. You can call back in next week because, that this thing is going to cut us off. It ain't even playing. Okay. So I want to pray out, guys, because we only got like about 45 seconds now before it shuts us down. Thank you, sister. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay, yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay. Sister Aura, can you close us out in prayer?
10 seconds
we got.
Half an hour. Father, we come before you this evening, Father, thanking you for such a blessed evening, Father, for so many people so open with their,
Right. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.